There is no becoming unrecognizable. There is no bearing fruit. There is no looking like Jesus unless you are dwelling in Jesus, right? You gain characteristics of the person that you spend the most time with.
What's good, everybody? Welcome back to the More Purpose Podcast,
where we talk everything from faith to finances.
I'm your host, Clarence.
And your co-host, Marlon.
And we are back with a new season.
Yes, sir!
Bro, it's been a decade. Yeah. We've been gone for a minute.
I just yell all in y'all ears. I'm so sorry, but I'm hype.
He's season not five. Sorry. Wake up. Good morning. We back. You know what I'm saying?
Season five.
Season five, episode one. It's been a minute. A lot has happened.
Facts.
On this unintentional break, actually, because I promise y'all we did not intend to have this break.
We did not intend to have a sabbatical. It just happened, but the Lord knew exactly what he was doing. We needed it. We're back. We're better, closer to God, and we're feeling refreshed, most importantly. So It's been good. It's been great.
It's been an amazing experience so far. God's been pouring so much into us, like crazy. And we have a new theme for this season. I don't think we ever had a theme for the season.
We haven't. Like, this is season five, though. You know, we gotta do things differently. You see the setup, first and foremost. You see the setup. We're doing things a lot differently this season. And it's going to be crazy. But, yeah, tell us the theme.
So the theme of this year has been something that God has been putting on my heart since 2023 in December. Mm. And the theme of this year is becoming unrecognizable. Let's say one more time. Let's paint. You know how they'd be like, you want to paint it in the word? Becoming unrecognizable. You feel me?
That's crazy.
My fault. But the theme is becoming unrecognizable. And that's something that God's been putting on my heart since December of 2023. And little backstory, and around that time, God put on my heart through prayer. And I was fasting around that time as well. Mm. And he said, I need you to become unrecognizable by June. Yeah. But when he gave me the word, and for y'all that don't know, y'all can go on YouTube and look at one of my old videos. It's called Becoming Recognizable to the World. I posted that not even knowing what I was posting, ironically, which is crazy. Like, looking back at it, it's like, yo.
Strategic.
This is crazy. So it was very strategic. But he gave me the word of becoming unrecognizable to the world and becoming recognizable to him. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yo, I like that. Like, that should be the goal all the time. That should be an everyday thing as far as becoming unfamiliar to the world. But I want to become familiar with God. I want to get to know God. I want to be recognizable to him and not recognizable by anyone else. So that's the theme of this year. So I'm going to say it one more time. Becoming unrecognizable to the world, becoming recognizable to God. That's the whole thing. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give y'all some backstory and just a little timeline of how these last 6 months has been God walking me through that journey, walking me through that process, and the revelations that me and Marlon have both witnessed through this walk and the different things that we've been going through. It's been real crazy. It's been a crazy ride. But in December 2023 is when he first gave me the word of becoming unrecognizable. And then fast forward to around April, around my birthday, is when I had another confirmation of me becoming unrecognizable. So we was in church at our dad's church, the Man Church of God in Christ in Chesapeake, if you know what I'm saying, if you want to pull up.
Yeah.
Pull up, 9:30 a.m. But we was in church, and while I was in the back worshiping, my aunt, she a prophetess, I was back in the back worshiping. She came all the way from the front of the whole church, came to the back. I had my eyes closed, and I remember at first I'm like, who's this random person that's walked up on me?
Is it you, God?
My eyes are closed, but it was my aunt. She walked up on me and started praying over me, and she said, mind y'all, I've been writing down I'm becoming unrecognizable by June in my journal, and I had it in my bio of becoming unrecognizable because God had told me to change my bio up and everything like that. So I have in my bio to become unrecognizable. So she doesn't know anything about the date I had set in my heart of when I'm going to become unrecognizable by.
Yeah.
So she comes and she starts praying over me. She said, the Lord said you're going to become unrecognizable by June. Mm. I said, there's no way you said that. That's what's wrong. There's no way you said that.
Yeah.
Mental note. That's crazy because that's something God already told me personally, and I was already saying it for myself anyway. Mm-hmm. So when she said that, it was like another confirmation of stay on the course, like stay the course, stay in the chair. So fast forward past that, I go to Texas. Marlon didn't come to Texas this time. And when we get to Texas, this is when a lot's going on in my personal life, a lot of different shifts, a lot of different changes, and a lot of just pruning, honestly. Like, God was just doing a lot of pruning. And during that season, I was in Texas. God said, hey, cut your hair.
For context, though, this man has had his hair
my whole life.
Our whole life. Everybody knows I've always been back and forth. The low cut is like using my normal cut, but people know I do switch up to afro here and there. Mm-hmm. This man, it's no switching back and forth. There is no waves.
There's nothing.
It's just fro. If he doesn't have a fro, it's either twist or braid, whatever that may be. Look,
like, I've always had hair in my head my whole life. And you know for sure, I'm not cutting my hair for nobody. I don't care who you are.
Yeah.
I'm not cutting my hair for nobody, which is why I knew it was God, because God knew I'm not cutting my hair for nobody. Yeah. Unless I tell everybody all the time, Everybody be like, yo, you ever think about cutting your hair? No.
Yeah.
Unless God physically tells me himself, yeah. I'm not cutting my hair. Nobody's ever going to see it. And if we need to, I'll put a picture up there for y'all to be able to see, like, my hair when I cut my hair the first time.
I'm sure they can kind of see it already because you have a hat on.
Hat on, yeah.
In the past, you couldn't really wear a full wear hats, hat, not yeah. fully on your head. Yeah,
it'll be floating in the fro.
And then your hair came out on the side.
Yeah. So, when we in Texas and everything, randomly, out of nowhere, guy said, yo, cut your hair. Mm. I paused. I said, you're bugging.
Get behind me, Satan.
that could have been you.
Yeah.
Because it surely won't me.
Yeah.
But God, there's no way you said that. There's no way you said cut your hair. Mm-hmm. So he said that. And then right after that again, I got in the shower. Came again. Yo, cut your hair. Mm-hmm. I said, okay. I hear you loud and clear.
Yeah.
But there's no way you're saying that. I'm mm-hmm. still in denial.
Yeah.
Then a third time, cut your hair. And I went to Capri and I was like, Capri's my girlfriend. I went to mm-hmm. Capri and I was like, I think God told me to cut my hair.
Yeah.
And she said, matter of fact, you should cut your hair. Mm. I said, oh, now you're bugging too.
Yeah.
But she, out of all people, loved my hair. So mm-hmm. if she had said it too, it was like, okay, like, maybe I'm not tripping.
Yeah.
So the fourth confirmation, which was the craziest confirmation, was our friend Lex, if you watch our YouTube and you've seen that we surprised Lex with a camera, more purpose mm-hmm. surprised with a camera or anything yeah. like that. But Lex, she's been serving in the community, all that. And she had hit me up randomly and texted and said, hey, I don't know why, but God put you in my heart. I seen a TikTok, and she sent a TikTok in an actual group me in our community chat, but mm. I never looked at the TikTok.
Yeah.
And she sent it to me personally. She said, God put it on my heart to send this to you. And the video was of a homeless man. It was of a homeless man that got taken off the street to come get a haircut.
Yeah.
And in the video, the homeless man got the haircut, and the narrator that was narrating the video said the transformation was almost so drastic that the man became unrecognizable.
Oof.
I said, there's no way you just sent this video to me.
Yeah.
After my word of the
That's
year
crazy.
Is unrecognizable.
She didn't know nothing.
And she knew nothing about it. She said, God told me to send you this. And then what also she said was, God also told me to tell you to stay in the chair, which means continue to get cut. After I was already getting cut OD, it was like, yo, what's going on?
Yeah.
I'm like, what's going on?
And if you watch this podcast, you should already kind of know what stay in the chair means. We kind of broke it down
in
that one episode. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was crazy.
Talking about cutting.
No, it wasn't Boys to Men. It was like the first episode we did when we had got back. We was talking about cutting, the pruning like process.
Surgery, all that.
Surgery, yeah.
Yeah,
but yeah.
So yeah, when she said stay in the chair, I was like, ooh. I was like, okay, God, I hear you loud and clear. Yeah. Got you. So around that time is where I went to Texas. I was in Texas for how long? Like a month?
You was there for a while, bro.
I was in Texas for like a month. So I'm learning, soaking in, have my intimate time with God, and God just speaking to me left and right. I'm having dreams left and right, all that. And one of my dreams was also, I had a dream. Don't say this dream. I'm going to share this dream. So I had a dream of More Purpose as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a dream where we had a big More Purpose building.
Mm-hmm.
Big More Purpose building. It was a big MP on it, like a skyscraper, but it was in the clouds.
Mm-hmm.
It was as if like the building went all the way to heaven in a mm-hmm. way. And in the dream, I watched the building start crumbling mm-hmm. and I watched it fall down.
Yeah.
I watched it fall on top of me. And all the souls flew out the building. But during that time was because I was doing something I wasn't supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I seen the building fall on me, it was like a wake-up call. I woke up crying.
Yeah,
I repented right then and there, all that. I said, God, we cannot let that happen. Like, I'm going to stay in the chair.
Mm.
But that revelation was more so showing if I don't stay in the chair, that's how fast that can happen.
Mm.
That's how fast how many souls that we've gained and gained to Christ and everything like that by God's will can be lost just that fast
mm-hmm.
because we have to make sure we're walking according to this word. We live in a lifestyle. I mean, a life worthy of our calling, which is Ephesians 4:1. We're going to touch on that later on.
Yeah.
But that was one of my biggest wake-up calls as far as, like, this life is not nothing to play with.
Mm-hmm.
This calling is nothing to play with. What God has trusted us with, the assignment, everything is nothing to play with.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes we give our age an excuse
mm-hmm.
about how, like, we're still young.
Yeah.
We're still trying to figure stuff out, and we're different. Like, we're still learning about how to lead and all this different things like that. But that was, like, my biggest wake-up call as far as, like, yo, I trust you with it.
Yeah.
But don't let it fall because you're taking it for granted.
Yes.
So that was like, oh, yeah, nah, don't worry about it. We're about to lock in, like, fully.
So was that your confirmation to cut your hair?
So that was like, yes. Okay. So after the dream and everything, that was, like, another confirmation towards the stay in the chair. So, like, four verbal confirmations as far as, like, God telling me, hey, cut your hair, Lex video, and then the dream of all that happening was all confirmation as far as like, yeah, time to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
So first thing that God wanted me to change was my hair. He said, cut your hair. Other thing that I personally wanted was a new car.
Yeah.
So I'm going to tell you the story about the car.
Wait, real quick, because I want you to skip it. What did the haircut represent to you?
The haircut to me represented me letting go of everything that was old about me.
Yeah. Yep.
So everything involved in my past, everything attached to my past, everything attached to the old Clarence, that was representing me cutting all that off and letting it go for good. Not being tangled up with it, not having knots, like tied, like different knots and everything to my past.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, this is good.
And when I cut my hair, it was crazy because I felt new.
I could imagine that, but how much fear were you going through because your hair was something you was familiar with and something you was comfortable with? So for you to cut it, what was that tension like?
It was a little bit of tension there. Mm-hmm. It was like, God, I've had hair my whole life. I don't know how I'm going to look. I haven't seen myself with no hair on my head in forever. So I don't even know how I'm going to look. I don't even know if I'm going to like how I look on top of that. And then how's everybody else going to perceive me once I cut my hair? So it's like I'm thinking about all the worldly things, but not thinking about just walking in obedience.
That's how you felt beforehand.
Yeah, that's how I felt beforehand.
Once you cut it, what'd you feel like?
Once I sat in the chair and went through with it and said, God, I don't care how I feel about it, I'm going to obey you. Mm-hmm. Once I started seeing the hair fall off my head, it was like a sense of peace on it. It was like, I'd rather obey God than anything else. Yeah. He showed me everything that he said he's going to do in my life, and he showed me everything that could happen if I don't walk in obedience. Mm. And the whole reason, everything that we have right now, everything we've accomplished, everything we've done has been through walking in obedience.
Yeah.
He's never failed me, so why would I stop now? You feel me?
Yeah.
So even if I love my hair, I understand I love God more. Simple as that. Mm. So I cut my hair off. When I cut my hair off, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders in a way. It was weird.
You felt new?
Spiritually, it was like a weight lifted off my shoulders. It was like God took off all the old weight, all the old baggage, all the old luggage, everything that was attached to my old life, he took it off.
So, this crazy. Is crazy. How many of us are missing out on the new life because we still haven't had the funeral of our old self?
I'm about to jump across the table.
How many of us are missing out on that new life that God has for us? We still haven't did the eulogy yet.
It's crazy. What?
This is crazy. This story is actually like... This story is dumb. It's dumb in a good way because I'm like, just the whole time just listening to it, it's like, it's so practical, but it's so spiritual.
Yes, bro.
You know, it's like, and some of y'all may be thinking, did you really have to cut your hair? Like, sometimes you have to go to drastic measures, and sometimes we can even idolize those things. Mm-hmm. Like, are you willing to cut your hair for me? It's a whole lot to go
and
into
in
that.
In a way, it was a subtle idol.
Yeah.
Because I would tell, like I told you before, I told everybody, I'm not cutting my hair for nobody.
Yeah.
I don't care who asked me to cut my hair. I'm not cutting my hair off. Only God could tell me to cut my hair off.
Yes.
And that was a time where God had to, he tested me. He was like, I bet. Only I can tell you, cut your hair off. Let me see what you're going to do. And just going through that whole process, it felt like God was sending me through a whole pruning season as a whole, like wiping everything clean. Like we said before, like you know how in chess you have to knock certain pieces off the board. And I had prayed the prayer of God, like, not wipe the slate, like wipe the whole board off.
Yeah.
Wipe whoever you need to wipe off. Wipe whatever you need to wipe off to cleanse me in your image to where I look more like you.
Yeah.
Whatever's dirty, whatever doesn't look like you, whatever doesn't reflect you, clean it all, clear off the board, and give me a new board. Reset my pieces.
Yeah.
And he did that in a way. So when I cut my hair off, it felt like God resetting my life. It felt like God refreshed me in a way. It felt like I got recharged. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, I watched that hair fall off my head, and it was as if like God opened up a new door of insight, a new door of vision, a new door of like, just awareness of who I am as a person, everything I've been through all these last couple months.
It definitely was a funeral.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
And it was like, again, that's exactly what it felt like. It felt like I killed my old self. It felt like I killed my flesh. That's what it felt like. It felt like I don't recognize myself no more. Like, which was good in my mind because again, my whole world was becoming unrecognizable. So it just, that's crazy. Like when I really think about it, like laying it out like that.
Yeah.
You have to kill something.
You have to, and this whole time we've been on break and sabbatical, I've been going through this like midlife revelation. I feel like the Holy Spirit has been taking me through this revelation of, and just to give kind of some backstory and some clarity is that I've been reading a lot of books, I've been praying, and I was kind of asking the Holy Spirit, or just even question myself, like, how do I have the resurrected Spirit of Christ, same Spirit that brought Christ from the dead within me, right? And I still live a bound life.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, what is
the missing piece here?
What's the missing piece? If I have the Holy Spirit, the perfect Spirit of Christ, how am I still living below the standard that God has called me to live, right? And I was reading a book, and I was realizing that a lot of us believe that salvation, we believe that Jesus saves us from sin. Mm-hmm. We believe that he takes the penalty away from sin. We believe that he calls us just and he calls us righteous. But a lot of us don't know that salvation is twofold. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he takes the penalty of sin, but he also takes the power of sin.
Yeah.
And I believe that he took the penalty of sin, meaning I believe Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins. But I realized that I didn't have a faith. I didn't have enough faith to know that mm-hmm. he took the power of sin as well.
Yeah.
And we know that as a man thinketh, so is he, right? Mm-hmm. That's how he's going to act. That's who he's going to be. And I realized that I didn't believe that Jesus Christ took the power of sin.
Yeah.
So ended up living a bound life, a life below the standard which God has called me to. Mm-hmm. And it was all because of a lack of faith, first and foremost. And a lot of us, and something I had to realize as well, a lot of us think that salvation, we know that was all God's doing.
Yeah.
That was by his grace and by his mercy. But sanctification, we think that's our doing. And that's where I was messing up. Yeah. I felt like God was the one that made me clean. I mean, God was the one that saved my life. But I felt like I had to be the one that made me clean. Mm-hmm. And that was the common denominator. That's why it wasn't working. The same method to where I put my faith, believing that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, is the same method that I have to put my faith in knowing that he has wiped me free from the power of sin mm-hmm. as well. And believe in him and have faith in him for the sanctification process, mm-hmm. right? So I think, which you're going back and bringing it all the way around back to you cutting your hair, I think it was not only a goodbye, but it was you fully putting your trust and your confidence in not yourself, but in him to fully clean you. You know, when you sit in the chair, you have no control of the clippers. Yeah. You know, mm-hmm. you don't have no control of that. Yeah. You don't have no control of what they do.
If you keep moving, you only prolong the cut.
You only prolong the cut. So I think that was just it was a goodbye, but it also was a hello. And I believe that most of us are not receiving the benefit of the resurrection, the same resurrection life that Christ lived, because we're scared to go through death, which was the point that you made. Death is the door. Yeah. Death is the portal. Death is the opportunity to actually live the resurrected life. So.
And to tie it back into what you said about just bathing yourself, I felt like cutting my hair brought me closer to God in a way because I was doing it for him. I wasn't doing it for no one else. I didn't cut my hair for myself. I didn't cut my hair for me to look good.
Yeah.
I ain't cut my hair for my parents, for my family, my friends, my relationship, none of that. No, I cut it for you, God. Like I did the sacrifice for you.
Yeah.
I sacrificed something. I threw something in the fire for you. And doing that, it felt like I had more intimacy with God. Remember what I said before, tying it back into what you said about bathing yourself the other day about where we was at the altar. And this is my first time ever having like a vision of Jesus. I was in the bathtub and Jesus was hand washing me.
Yeah.
And when he was hand washing me, it felt like God was washing off every sin, every iniquity, every mess up, every slip up, every anything that just wasn't like him, that didn't reflect him, he was cleaning it off himself. And it just showed me what real intimacy is.
Yes.
And I remember I told you how back when we was younger, how Ma used to bathe us. But her bathing us first comes with us acknowledging that we're dirty. And the same thing with God. God can't clean you if you don't acknowledge that you're dirty, if you don't acknowledge that you live in sin, if you don't acknowledge that you're living or you messed up and living a sinful life.
Yeah.
That your flesh took over.
Yeah.
And when I acknowledge that to God that, hey, I messed up, Lord, I slipped up, or God, I'm living a sinful life, or God, I'm not living the life worthy of my calling, I give him full authority to begin to clean me. But to give him full authority to clean you shows how vulnerable and trusting you have to be to trust him that he can clean you, actually.
And that's,
so when you say you clean yourself, it's more like a lack of trust of God. I don't think you can fully clean. I think I can clean myself.
And you can't clean yourself.
You can't.
It takes a clean man to clean a dirty man.
Exactly.
That's the only reason Christ can clean us, because he was perfect. But we try to clean ourselves. It's like you're just putting dirt on dirt. Remember we had a conversation about the washcloths the other day. It's like you're trying to clean. You're cleaning yourself with a dirty rag.
Yeah.
You have to go to the clean one. You have to go to the one that was perfect, the one that knew no sin but became sin, right? So that we can be the righteousness of Christ Jesus. So that's real good.
And the whole time we can tie that in right here to Ephesians chapter 4,
let's do it.
Verses 17 through 25. I'm reading the Message version because the Message version just slapped me all in the face. But Ephesians 4, for those that want to live a life worthy of your calling, this is my scripture for the year, well, my chapter for the year, because this is what God has always had me meditating on. But it says, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 17 through 25, Message version. It says, and so I insist, and God backs me up on this, that there will be no going along with the crowd, the empty-headed, mindless crowd. They refused for so long to deal with God that they lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. They can't think straight anymore. Feeling no pain, they let themselves go in sexual obsession, addicted to every sort of perversion. But that's no life for you. You learn Christ. My assumption is that you have paid careful attention to him, been well instructed in the truth precisely as we have it in Jesus. Since then, we do not have the excuse of ignorance. Everything, and I do mean everything, connected with that old way of life has to go.
Yeah.
It's rotten through and through. Get rid of it.
Yeah.
and then take an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces his character in you. What this adds up to, then, is this. No more lies, no more pretense. Tell your neighbor the truth. In Christ's body, we're all connected to each other. After all, when you lie to others, you end up lying to yourself. That is OD.
It is.
But I feel like that's a scripture that just emphasizes becoming unrecognizable. That don't say everything connected with that old way of life has to go.
Yeah.
And when I read that the first time after, before cutting my hair, that was my last confirmation to cut my hair. It was like everything that's attached to my old life, everything that's attached to where I used to sin, every environment, every person, every thing, whether social media, whatever it is, anything attached to the old life, it has to go. And God sent me just through a whole process of just pruning, which was crazy.
It's crazy because sometimes when we come into contact with Jesus and we give our lives to Christ, why do we think that we can keep our dirty clothes on after coming into contact
with
him?
You can't.
Like, it will not work.
You can't.
And I'm going to read Romans 6. This is one of my favorite chapters. This is Romans 6. This is verses 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 11 real quick. Romans 6, verses 4 through 11. It says, therefore, we were buried with him. We died with Christ by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in newness of life. Verse 5, for if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. I'm going to read that verse again. If we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. So first, let's stop right there. A lot of people want the resurrection without the death. And when Christ died on the cross for our sins and we give our life to Christ, we're basically saying, hey, I was crucified there with you.
Yeah.
It wasn't just your work. Yes, it was by grace and it was by your mercy, right? That was your work on the cross. You saved me by grace. It was nothing I can do. But once I give my life to Christ, I'm saying, hey, I'm putting my old self up there with you. We're killing it, right? Like, lynch him. Like, you know what I'm saying? No, it's done. Like, and a lot of us, we try to keep on the the old clothes, the old outfit. And Christ is trying to give you a whole new wardrobe. He's trying to resurrect you, right? So again, verse 5, it says, for if we have been united with him in the likeness of his death, we will certainly also be in the likeness of his resurrection. For we know that our old self, the old body, the old man, before you gave your life to Christ, that old man was crucified with him. It died with him. So that body ruled by sin, the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, meaning sin has no power, right? Okay, I'm going to read it again. For we know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body ruled by sin might be rendered powerless, so that we may no longer be enslaved to sin. Verse 7. Since a person who has died is free from sin, now if we also live with him, because, where am I at? Hold on. Now if we die with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him, because we know that Christ, having been raised from the dead, will not die again. Death no longer rules over him. For the death he died to sin once for all time. But the life he lives to God. So you too, this is verse 11, so you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God. I'm going to read that again. So you too consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. And we was talking about this. I was telling you how I want to do a series called Walking Dead. And I was saying how a lot of our problems is, and I was realizing this in myself, is that the Holy Spirit was revealing that it's an identity problem. It's not a sin problem. You don't consider, verse 11 says, consider yourselves to be dead. A lot of us don't consider our old selves to be dead. We still think our old self has power. We still think that it has authority over us. It could just dog walk us, right? But it's like, no, when Christ died on the cross for our sins, he not only took the penalty, he didn't just take the condemnation for us and take away the sentence and just substitute himself in. But in that death, because he was perfect, he took away the power of sin. So meaning we no longer even have to do what our flesh urges us to do, but a lot of us still fall prey to it because we don't believe that he took the power. And we don't see ourselves as dead to our old selves. So I love this chapter because before any new life, before any resurrection, before any becoming unrecognizable, there has to be a death. There has to be a death of oneself. There has to be a death to my way. And I want to pair it with this verse real quick. This is one of my favorite verses now. This is Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, or verse 19. It says, for through the law, I died to the law so that I might live for God. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. This is saying the same thing as Romans. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me or through me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm going to read verse 20 again. I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. When you give your life to Christ, you give up your rights to control.
Yeah.
you give up your rights to having the will of your life, right? Mm-hmm. You give up your rights to control of your life, thinking you know what to do, thinking you know where to go, thinking that your plans matter first, right? Mm-hmm. No, you give up all of that when you give your life to Christ. You literally pick up your cross, you pick up your way, mm-hmm. and what do? You deny yourself.
Yeah.
You say, hey, that was my old way, mm-hmm. that was my old life, that was my old appetite. And when I give my life to Christ, the Holy Spirit enters in us, right? So it's no longer me who's living, but the Holy Spirit is making his appeal through me. He's living through me. And I realize that most of us live bound lives because we are still trying to live our own lives, right?
It's harder to carry a cross when you're trying to drag and hold on to your old you.
So good. Say it again.
It's hard to carry a cross fully when you're trying to go back and grab the old you and hang on and latch on.
Yeah.
Let it go.
And I love it because when we was in Indiana, you made the analogy about driving. Mm-hmm. About driving. And go ahead and make that analogy real quick.
So basically, I had told Marlon, I was like, the reason why we don't get to where we need to get to fully and just walking our path of Christ mm-hmm. is because we want to keep our hand on the wheel.
Yeah.
And with me, that was my situation where I wanted to tell God where to turn. I was being a backseat driver.
Yeah.
So if you know what a backseat driver is, it's usually the person that where if someone's driving, you're in the backseat, but you're looking over their shoulder trying to tell them like, hey, watch out for that car in front of you.
Yeah.
And look out for that light, that stop sign.
And the man at the wheel is like, yo, I got it.
I can do it.
I've been driving for a minute.
Like, we good. Like, trust me, we good. But a backseat driver is usually always nagging or trying to feel like you said, feel like they can do the job better.
Yeah.
And what I was saying was, back when my dad used to drive us to Florida all the time, it was a trust thing. I know my dad knows a route to get to Florida. So the route to Florida from where we are was always a 12, 13-hour drive. Mm-hmm. But every time I got in the car, I was able to sleep dang near the whole ride of the car because I trusted my dad. And I trusted that he knew the route.
So good.
Trusted he can get us there safely. And I knew that we would be fine because mm-hmm. I trusted my dad.
Yeah.
So I could sleep peacefully. I don't have to worry about anything because I know my dad will get us there safely.
Yeah.
Same thing with us. The problem is we don't trust that God can get us there safely. Mm-hmm. We don't trust that he can get us through the destination safely, which is why we're always trying to keep our hand on the wheel. We're always trying to tell him where to stop and go to. We're always trying to look through the window and be like, yeah, God, pull over right here real quick. And we're delaying our destination.
And when two people's hands are on the wheel, this is way more tragic for you to get to your destination. More harm can be caused.
Yes.
If two people are literally, if the passenger person and the person driving are both tugging for the wheel, mm-hmm. it can result in a crash, meaning you don't reach your destination.
At all.
A lot of us don't reach purpose. We don't reach destiny mm-hmm. because we're still trying to grab the wheel when God is the one trying to be the driver, right?
Yes.
And what we say or what we're communicating without really saying it is that, God, I drive better than you.
Yes. That's crazy.
I trust myself more than you. Mm-hmm. When you're a backseat rider and you're looking up like that, it's because you don't trust the person driving. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, I need to have the wheel. That's basically what you're saying. No, I need to be in the driver's seat. Mm-hmm. And we're telling God we have more faith in ourselves than him. We have more faith in ourselves when we're not omniscient, we're not omnipresent. Mm-hmm. God said, before I formed you in your mother's womb, I knew you.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you let him take the wheel?
Bro, he knows the destination.
You know what I'm saying? We just got here. Yeah. You're trying to figure it out. You're going through different mm-hmm. twists and turns. Why wouldn't you want to know the creator? Why wouldn't you want to let the creator take control? And that's really what this verse is saying in Galatians. He's saying, I have been crucified with Christ. When I gave my life to Christ, I died.
Yeah.
It's no longer that lives. Marlon is no longer. That's what Paul's saying. Mm-hmm. Paul's like, hey, this is no longer Paul.
Yeah.
But the Holy Spirit, God himself, right, is living through me. He's not living. Now, I sit back in that child state, like you said, mm-hmm. and I go to sleep in the back seat,
and I let him
drive.
Yeah.
Why? Because he knows the directions. He knows the traffic that's up the road, and he knows the time frame to where I'm supposed mm-hmm. to be.
And it's crazy because when your hand's on the wheel, you remove the filter that keeps you from all the other extra obstacles that you don't have to go through.
So good.
So think about it like this. Usually the person that's driving has full control over the car. So he has control over your window, your doors, child lock, all these different things. And sometimes we need to let Jesus drive the car because he's filtering what you're seeing through your window. Mm. He's filtering when you can get out the car.
So good.
And he's filtering where you stop at. But if you have your hand on the wheel, you're trying to control where you stop at, what you're seeing, and you're exposing yourself to things you're not supposed to see prematurely.
Yeah.
You're rolling your window down and looking at different things, hearing different things that you're not supposed to be hearing.
Mm.
You're playing music that you're not supposed to be hearing.
Yeah.
You opening different doors of different things that could have been blocked off, but you want to keep control. Now you're letting other things in that weren't supposed to be in there in the first place. You're letting things get attached to you that weren't supposed to be attached in the first place.
Yeah.
Think about child lock. Child lock is when the door is locked from the outside and the inside to where you can't get out if you try to open it from the inside.
Yeah.
But that's for your protection. Imagine trying to open a door while you're driving.
Yeah.
So that's dangerous.
Yeah.
And sometimes we want to open the door while Jesus is trying to take us to a certain destination, and we only hurt ourselves because we want to jump out of the car.
This Christian walk is a battle for control. It's a battle for control. Those who really see the manifested power of God in mm-hmm. their lives are those that know how to say,
take your hands
throw
off.
Your hands up.
Yeah.
But the ones that don't are the ones that try to keep their hand on the wheel, right? And that's why I love in 2 Corinthians, I've been in a deep dive in that verse in 2 Corinthians 12, or it might be 1 Corinthians 12, I forgot. But when Paul says, your strength is made perfect in my weakness.
Yeah.
For when I am weak, you are strong. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying it all the time. Me and God can't both be strong.
Exactly.
It don't work like that. When I'm trying to be strong, I close down, I shut the door to God's power, God's strength being made manifest in my life.
Yeah.
So God's like, okay, you want to be strong, you go ahead and be strong. You get yourself through that situation. Mm-hmm. You try to figure out your own life. You try to find your purpose. You try to find your wife, right? You try to figure out what school you want to go to. Yeah. You try to figure out what career path you want to go down to. Since you're so strong, since you know the beginning from the end, right? Mm-hmm. Since you're omnipresent, since you was there from the foundation of the earth, you take the wheel. And I'm going to wait till you run out of options. Yeah. I'm going to wait till you fully get weak. Because this game is, again, this life of Christ is a life, it's a game of control, right? Mm-hmm. And only those that take their hands off, only those that say, God, I'm weak. I can't figure it out. God, I don't have the strength. God, I can't overcome this by myself. Mm-hmm. God, I can't cleanse myself, right? The gym ain't working. The self-help ain't working. All of these different things.
Yeah.
I can't do it on my own. It's when you get to that state that God can be strong, that God can come down. He's like, hey, I was just waiting for you.
Literally.
I was waiting for you to realize and open your eyes to see that, hey, you can't do this. And if you could, you wouldn't have needed a savior. Why do you need Jesus if you can cleanse yourself?
We'll wait.
And this is what Jesus was telling the Pharisees, because they thought they can, I can just obey the law. I can do all these things. I can make myself right. I can make myself righteous. Mm-hmm. And he's like, no, you got it all wrong.
Yeah.
There will be no need for a savior if you can make yourself right, if you could cleanse your sin, if you can stop yourself from the judgment of God that was going to be upon us because of the sin of Adam, right? Mm-hmm. And it was ultimately our sin as well. So we have to get to the point where we realize that Jesus came so that he can live his life through us now. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit. Now he's making his appeal through us. Now he's given us that power. And a lot of us have the Holy Spirit, because when you're saved, he gives you the Holy Spirit. It's a gift. Yeah. It's free. People don't ask for gifts back. And if I give you this water bottle as a gift, you take it. I don't ask for it back. It's a gift, right? But a lot of us, we have the Holy Spirit, but his power is not being made manifest in our life because he's underneath there. He's suppressed underneath all of our self-righteousness and underneath all of our trust in ourselves. And he's like, I'm a gentleman. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to force myself upon you. So I'll wait until you realize that you're running out of options. I'll wait until you realize that your friends can't save you. Your family can't save you. You can't save yourself.
Yeah. It's crazy because that's basically like trying to wash yourself with no soap.
Man, what?
You're trying to clean yourself with no soap.
Yeah.
Jesus is the solvent. Mm-hmm. he's the cleaning agent.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to clean something with no cleaning agent.
Yeah.
And once you realize that you need Jesus to even be clean in the first place, then you'll start actually seeing a different you, a cleaner you, a newer you. And just going back to the clothes aspect, what you said, like trying to keep dirty clothes on.
Yeah.
Colossians chapter 3, I love this chapter. It's one of my favorite chapters as well. But reading NLT version 2, but the Message version just says it, that just slaps me in the face again, because I might read the whole chapter for y'all. I'm not going to lie to y'all. That thing is good. So Colossians chapter 3, Message version, just the whole chapter, even starting from the beginning, because the whole chapter just is crazy. But it says, verse 1 through 2, it says, so if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. That's like what?
Yeah.
Act like it. Out the gate. Act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorb the things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ.
Yeah.
That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. Verse 3 through 4, your old life is dead. That's to become unrecognizable.
Yeah.
You have to kill the old you.
Mm-hmm.
Let it go. Your new life, which is your real life, even though invisible to spectators, is with Christ and God. He is your life. When Christ, your real life, remember, shows up again on this earth, you'll show up too, the real you, the glorious you. Meanwhile, be content with obscurity like Christ.
Yeah.
Verse 5 through 8. And that means killing off everything connected with that way of death.
Yeah.
Sexual promiscuity, impurity, lust, doing whatever you feel like whenever you feel like it, and grabbing whatever attracts your fancy.
Yeah.
Come on, now you're talking to somebody now. That's a life shaped by things and feelings instead of by God. It's so because of this kind of thing that God is about to explode in anger. Mm. It wasn't long ago that you were doing all that stuff and not knowing any better, but you know better now. So make sure it's all gone for good.
Yeah.
Bad temper, irritability, meanness, profanity, dirty talk. Verse 9 through 11. Don't lie to one another. You're done with that old life. Yeah. It's like a filthy set of ill-fitting clothes you stripped off and put in the fire. Now you're dressed in a new wardrobe.
Yeah.
Every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator. That's hard.
So
that's fire.
Yeah.
With his every item of your new way of life is custom made by the Creator with his label on it. All the old fashions are now obsolete. Words like Jewish and non-Jewish, religious, irreligious, insider and outsider, uncivilized and slave and free mean nothing. From now on, everyone is defined by Christ. Everyone is included in Christ.
So good.
So, verse 12 through 14. So, chosen by God for this new life of love, dressed in the wardrobe God picked out for you. Compassion, kindness, humility, quiet strength, discipline. Be even-tempered, content with second place. Quick to forgive an offense. Forgive as quickly and completely as the master forgave you. And regardless of what else you put on, wear love. Mm-hmm. It's your basic all-purpose garment.
Yeah.
Never be without it. Let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other and instead with each other. None of this going off and doing your own thing, and cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house. Give it plenty of room in your lives. Instruct and direct one another using good common sense, and sing your hearts out to God. Mm. Let every detail in your lives, words, actions, whatever, be done in the name of the Master Jesus, thanking God the Father every step of the way. Yeah. I love that joint so much. Because it not only touches on just living a new life, but the analogy of putting on clothes that reflect God.
Yeah.
Putting on clothes that has his label on it. Mm-hmm. And when you have clothes that has his label on it, now you're recognized as his child.
You just took me down a rabbit hole, because the whole part of becoming unrecognizable, everybody in this life, me and CL included, everybody always gets to a point in life where you ask yourself, well, who am I? And you're like, well, what am I doing? And I know it's somebody watching this video that you're at that point right now. Mm-hmm. And you have it's an urge within you. It's a hunger within you where you're like, it has to be more than this. Mm-hmm. I know I'm settling. I know I'm living below the means God has called me to. And I know that there is more than this. Mm-hmm. I know that there is more purpose, right? No pun intended. Yeah. I know there is another destiny. I know there is another level that God is calling me to. But the problem is, and this is what the world tries to do, is we try to become unrecognizable with so many different things that can never help us, right? Mm-hmm. And I had to be real with myself. I'm trying to be a version of Marlon that this Marlon, I've never seen before.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
I'm trying to be a version of Marlon that I've never seen before. Mm-hmm. You're trying to be a version of Clarence that you have never seen before.
Yeah.
And that's the problem right there. He told Jeremiah, before you was formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Mm-hmm. Let's stop.
Yeah.
Not I know you.
Yeah.
I knew you. I already knew you. So the only way to become unrecognizable is to tap into somebody that has already known the version of me that beforehand. I'm trying to get to.
Yes.
But a lot of us, we try doing it on our own, and we go through this period or this season of self-discovery, and we go through so many different things, like you said, that we was never supposed to go through. Mm-hmm. It's because we're trying to figure out ourselves. We're trying to tap into a potential that we have never seen before.
Yeah.
And I love what you just said about the t-shirt label. It reflects the Creator.
Yeah.
It's because becoming unrecognizable is only a result of abiding in his presence. Mm-hmm. What do I mean by that? John 15, verse 5, real quick. John 15, verse 5. It says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. The one who remains in me, the one who abides in me, and I in him, produces much fruit. Because you can do nothing without me. Verse 6. If anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside like a branch that withers. Verse 5 again. I am the vine, you are the branches. The one who remains in me, the one who abides in me, and I in him, produces much fruit. A strawberry doesn't have to try to be a strawberry. Mm-hmm. An orange doesn't try to be an orange.
Yeah.
They just stay on the vine. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are trying to produce Christ-like results without staying on the vine. So we're trying to look like the t-shirt label, the manufacturer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you're not on the same system, right? Mm-hmm. And becoming unrecognizable is only a result of abiding in his presence. Mm-hmm. And as you abide, as you dwell in his presence, and he in you, you will start to produce fruit. And fruit always looks like the tree. fruit always looks like a tree. When you plant an orange tree, you don't expect to see strawberries right there
at all.
Fruit is always identical to the tree it came from, to the vine that it was on.
That's good.
Right? To the branch that it was on, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of us are trying to get Christ-like results. without abiding on his tree, without abiding in his presence. So I believe that's what Jesus was trying to tell the Pharisees. It's like, yo, you're trying to get results of righteousness, and you're trying to get all these results, and you can't do it. Mm-hmm. It does not work. And many of us are trying to get that fruit without abiding in him. So, because I want to clarify, because I don't want you guys to hear this and you'd be like, oh, I'm about to get in that grind mode. I'm about to do this. I'm about to go to the gym. I'm about to listen to all these podcasts and stuff like that. That's cool. Mm. That stuff is dessert. That's the dessert. This is the main entree. Aside from Jesus, aside from abiding in this word, aside from dwelling in his presence, worshiping him, obeying him, and surrendering and submitting to his will and his way, aside from that, everything else is extra. Mm-hmm. The gym can't save you. Podcast can't save you. Our podcast can't save you. I told the people that Bible study the other day, this podcast is not a supplement or a substitute for you reading your Bible.
No.
This is dessert. You don't need this, because when it's people all around the world, that all they have is Bibles. Mm-hmm. They don't have this extra social media stuff. They don't have Instagram. They don't have YouTube. So this is not an excuse. Don't watch our podcast, because we don't ever want to make anybody. We don't want to enable nobody.
Yeah, don't rely on us.
We're telling you this now. Like, we're telling you, like, hey, do not rely on us. Like, and even when we say stuff, no, go back in your Bible and fact check.
Yeah.
You should be able to watch our episodes and be like, oh, yeah, I remember that scripture because you've been in your own word, mm-hmm. not just taking CL's word and taking Marlon's word, because we are just flawed individuals, right? Yes. On the same journey as you. So I just want to tell you that there is no becoming unrecognizable. Mm-hmm. There is no bearing fruit. There is no looking like Jesus unless you are dwelling in Jesus, mm-hmm. right? You gain characteristics of the person that you spend the most time with.
Exactly.
I have the same mannerisms and characteristics of my dad because I'm always with him, right? Mm-hmm, I have the characteristics and mannerisms of my mom because I dwell with her. I'm in her presence. Mm-hmm. And a lot of us are trying to get Jesus-like results, and we don't know Jesus.
That's actually crazy what you just said, because anytime that someone's with me, you and dad, we're all together, they always say, y'all walk just alike.
Exactly.
But that comes from being in a relationship. Mm-hmm. That comes from being around each other all the time. That comes from having that type of bond to where I pick up what I'm seeing.
Yeah,
I'm learning unintentionally. I'm learning from just being around. Mm-hmm. I'm learning from being in close proximity with you. And when you're in close proximity with your word, when you're around Jesus all the time, you're building that relationship and you're in deep intimacy with him, you look more like him. You reflect him.
It's because this is a cutting tool.
Yeah.
And people don't realize that. It says in Hebrews, the word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword, mm-hmm. right? It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It's cutting through soul and spirit, joint and marrow, mm-hmm. right? And it discerns our thoughts, our innermost thoughts and our innermost desires. Aside from this, the gym can't cut you. The podcast can give you some motivation. Mm-hmm. It can make you feel good. You can feel motivated. You can feel inspired, mm-hmm. but it doesn't change your life.
Exactly.
That doesn't change your life. This mm-hmm. is the word breathed on by the Holy mm-hmm. Spirit. This is what transforms our hearts. This mm-hmm. is where you read this and you be like, ooh, like, hey, I need to lock in on that. Like,
no cap.
I need to do better, because it's a double-edged sword. It's cutting me. It's cutting me on both ends, right? So I believe that if you want to become unrecognizable, this needs to be your greatest year in the presence of God.
Say it again.
If you want to become unrecognizable, this needs to be your greatest year in the presence of God.
Simple.
The one chapter a day is not cutting no more. And I'm talking to me. Anything I say, I'm holding myself accountable mm-hmm. for. I told myself the reading once and just in the morning is not, that's not enough no more. Your spirit is getting, it's hungry. It's getting, it's an appetite now. The appetite has built now mm-hmm. to where the one chapter a day is not, it's not feeding your spirit, man, no more. Because by the time you leave work, it already ran out. You're irritated. Mm-hmm. You're fed up, right? It's like, no, we need more. It's an increase in appetite. Mm-hmm. As you get older, our mom does not feed us baby food.
Exactly. Say it again for them. They gotta catch it.
Our mom does not feed us baby food. Why? As we grow, our appetite grows as well. Mm-hmm. So now your spirit, a lot of us, you're going through a season where you're thirsty or you're spiritually malnourished. It's because your spirit is yelling at you and your spirit is hungry. And that's why you're hitting this lid. That's why you're unsatisfied, because your spirit man is like, yo, it's more. I'm hungry.
I need more.
Time to fast. Time to pray some more. It's time to push past that 5-minute prayer. It's time to read more chapters, right? It's time to study even more. Actually dive into it, not just check it off your list. So in order for you to become unrecognizable, this has to be your greatest season. Your most consistent season, your most intentional season of being in God's presence. It says in John chapter 6, it says in verse 6, if anyone does not remain in me, he is thrown aside, right?
Yep.
You cannot gain fruit. You cannot produce fruit aside from remaining in him, dwelling in him, and abiding in his presence. Yeah, don't clip me up on that part, because I know Luke, it's going to be Luke. Luke going to clip me up.
But I think to even becoming recognizable, you have to read your word with intention. Mm-hmm. You have to apply what you're learning, because a lot of people read but will not apply what they even read in the first place. You have to build a stronger prayer life. You have to have more intimate time with God, more intentional time with God. Mm-hmm. And you have to also get uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Sometimes you can't do the same routine over and over again. Yes. Sometimes you have to switch it up and switch the environment up, switch the routine, switch the people that you're reaching out to or what you're watching, because different things, like you said, will be feeding you baby food in a way, like to where your appetite needs to change. You have to get more. You have to try more.
Yeah.
We always say that when you like reach a new level, it requires more. It requires more intentionality. It requires more responsibility. It requires more attention to detail on different things, because you reach a certain level that your old faith not going to be able to get you through this season that you're in right now. Mm-hmm. You need new faith now. You need like a new learning. That's a whole other assignment, a whole other learning session.
Yeah, you don't put new wine in old wineskins.
Exactly.
And neither do you put 93 gas in a Honda.
Come on now. Let me tell you something. If you're doing that, you're crazy.
Oh, matter of fact, my fault. No, it's the other way around.
It's backwards.
You don't put regular gas in the Mercedes.
Yeah, there you go.
Why? It will mess up your engine.
Yeah, there you go. I know what you're saying.
Yeah, y'all know what I meant. It will mess up your engine. It's because you're feeding it the bare minimum.
Bare minimum.
And it doesn't match the quality of the car, the luxury of the car, right?
Yes.
So.
And I wanted to read Joshua chapter 3, verse 5, because I feel like the real way to become unrecognizable, and it's something I was just telling Marlon before the podcast started, was God has been put on my heart for me and Marlon to basically practice living a consecrated life way more frequently. Mm-hmm. Like, we consecrate everything all the time, but making it a lifestyle to where it's like anytime God gives us the urge, consecrate.
And consecration or fasting is not a special occasion. Like,
you know,
you don't have to wait for your church to call a consecration to fast. And some people, I'm gonna say it. Some people, you're like, well, I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me when to fast.
Yeah.
That's no problem. I go to the Holy Spirit about how many days I should fast and different things like that. But I'm gonna give an example and you're gonna understand what I'm saying. I don't want nobody takes it the wrong way. I don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, when do you want me to pray?
Say it again.
I don't have to ask the Holy Spirit, when do you want me to pray? Holy Spirit, should I read my Bible?
Like,
Holy Spirit, should I pray? No, fasting is not a special occasion. Mm-hmm. Yes, there will be times where you have to go to the Holy Spirit. I want to clarify that. You're like, God, how many or how long should I fast? Mm-hmm. What kind of fast do you want me to do? Mm-hmm. But some of us, we wait and be like, oh, I'm just going to wait till the Holy Spirit lead me to fast. Mm-hmm. Or you see people intaking in a fast and you're like, oh, the Spirit didn't lead me to do that one.
Yeah.
No, fasting is a lifestyle. This is not no special occasion.
Exactly.
Just because you want something, because you want a new job. Right? No, this is a lifestyle of consecration.
Of cutting.
I want to clear that up. Yeah.
And that's the whole thing of staying in the chair. That's the whole thing behind staying in the chair.
Yeah.
Staying consecrated.
Yeah.
Keep getting cut. Mm-hmm. You can't get cut if you're not in your word.
Yes.
Simple as that. You can't get clean if you're not in your word. The word cleanses you.
And I wanted to emphasize on consecration real quick, because consecration is, that's what's going to get the old life out.
Exactly.
The disciples came unto Jesus and they was trying to cast out a demon and they couldn't do it. They said, Master, why couldn't we cast out a demon? Mm-hmm. He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting.
Yes.
This kind only. So meaning some stuff y'all was able to do off of the strength of my Holy Spirit and off of just the strength of it, right?
Yeah.
Because y'all are my sons. Mm-hmm. But it's even more powerful things, strongholds, addictions, demons, devils. They cannot be casted out if you do not have a consecrated life outside of this, outside of this podcast, outside of you having the microphone, outside of you being on the stage, outside of you being an influencer on Instagram, a consecrated life outside of that, not preparation for the podcast, not preparation for your sermon on Sunday, not preparation for your speech. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it has to be a lifestyle of consecration. And it will get the old man out.
And I love you say that, because Joshua chapter 3, verse 5 says, then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for the Lord will do great wonders among you.
Yeah.
I'll say it again. Then Joshua told the people, purify yourselves, for the Lord will do great wonders among you. And in other versions, it says consecrate, it says sanctify, and all these different things, because you have to live a sacrificial lifestyle. You have to live a consecrated life to even be sensitive enough to even know what God wants you to do, how he wants you to respond, the discernment that you need to even make certain decisions. You have to be consecrated. Mm-hmm. When you're not consecrated, you're letting in more of your flesh to make more decisions than your spirit making decisions. And one thing that I want everybody to be more intentional on is consulting God on what decisions you need to be making. Mm-hmm. The shift that is about to happen in these next 5 months of this year, it's about to be crazy. It's about to be a lot going on, and a lot going on very fast. Mm-hmm. If you're not in your word, if you're not praying, if you're not fasting, if you're not continuously seeking God, continuously being cut by him, you're going to miss something. You're going to miss your window.
You're going to miss it,
You're going to miss your window.
Yeah.
I don't want you to miss your window.
Yeah.
Become unrecognizable now. Do not wait for anybody. The problem right now is people are too familiar with you. Mm-hmm. People are way too familiar with you. They're so familiar with you that they don't even see God. They just see you. And that's the problem.
And that's the problem. And that's the whole point of becoming unrecognizable.
Yes.
It's becoming less of you.
Yes.
And more of him.
Yes.
And when people, so when Moses ascended upon the mountain and he was in the presence of God, he came back down. He had to wear a mask. Mm-hmm. The glory of the Lord was that, it was OD. That crazy that it made his face look different. Mm-hmm. And when people see us after coming down off that mountain, after coming out of God's presence, out of coming out of intimacy, out of fast, out of prayer, out of worship, there should be a difference. And they should no longer see us, but a residue, a tangible residue of his glory should be on our face.
Yeah, bro. It's crazy because me and Marlon just had a situation where multiple people have came with us and said, bro, y'all just look different. Like, y'all just, the way y'all talking, the way y'all acted, everything just looks different. But it's because me and Marlon have had so much pruning and just time with God in these last 6 months. Mm-hmm. It's been like it's a physical thing that they can see now in a way that they can be like, no, it's a drastic transformation happening right now. Like, mm-hmm. I can see them becoming unrecognizable. The transformation is so drastic, they seem that they can be unrecognizable in a way.
And I want to emphasize that you don't ever arrive.
Yeah, it's, no, it's
we're
continuous.
Not, we haven't arrived.
It's
this
continuous.
Is a continuous, like, continuous. A continuous cutting, a continuous pruning, refining, mm-hmm. all of the above, where God has to continue to cleanse us and prune us and mm-hmm. transform us into who he has called us to be. And I want to emphasize as well, because I love that verse that you said in Joshua, sanctify yourselves today.
Yeah,
but
today.
Tomorrow the Lord will do wonders.
Today.
God is so good. And the reason he is so good is because God does not call us to consecrate so we can get something from him. Mm-mm. But he calls us to consecrate is because he's holy. Therefore, because he's holy, I am holy. You need to be holy, right?
Yeah.
Because I'm holy, you need to be holy. But God is so good that in that consecration, he says, as you consecrate, as you fall in love with my presence, as you just want to be like me, mm-hmm. tomorrow I'm going to do wonders.
Yep.
Tomorrow I'm going to do wonders. Mm-hmm. And there, I don't know who I'm speaking to, because I had to realize this too. There is some opportunities. There are some doors that you cannot go through with the version of you right now. Mm-hmm. Marlon can't go through that door that God has ahead.
Yeah.
Marlon will ruin it. Mm-hmm. Marlon will mess it up. Marlon will fumble it. Marlon will misrepresent God. Mm-hmm. And God is like, hey, you won't ever get to that promised land until you become who I've called you to be in this moment. And this process is where God has to refine you. God has to cut on you. So I said this in Indiana, and this is a word I got from my coach. It will behoove you. it will behoove of you to lift your hands, because this is how you fight. You don't fight by trying to fight with your hands. And what I mean by that is you take your hands off the wheel, right? Mm-hmm. You let go of control. That's the only way you will become unrecognizable. That's the only way that you will win this battle.
And the whole goal when it comes to becoming unrecognizable is to also, Ephesians 4:1 is living a life worthy of your calling. Mm-hmm. And Ephesians 4:1, it says, therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling, for you have been called by God.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is Romans 12:1.
Yeah.
Romans 12:1-2. And my message version, well, I'm going to read the NLT version. It says, don't copy the behaviors and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think.
Yeah.
Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. The message version says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you, take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering.
Yeah.
Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to his level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well and well-formed maturity in you.
I love that verse, because that verse is really saying that as you're conformed to the world, you won't know the will of God
at all.
You won't know the will of God until your mind is renewed. It says, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind.
Yeah.
Then, it's a conditional, then you will know that good, pleasing, and perfect and acceptable will of God. And many of us, we're confused on the will of God. It's because we have been conformed to this world, and our minds have not been renewed. So if you are in that state where you're like, God, I don't know what to do, there has to be some renewing there. There needs to be some type of change. And we always talk about what Pastor Darius Daniel said. He said, any transformation starts head first. it always starts in the mind first. If you want to transform your finances, my mind has to be renewed in the area of finances. Mm-hmm. If you want to transform in your body, my mind has to be renewed in return in terms of body. What does renew mean? What does that look like? It means finding out what God says about it.
Yeah.
So what does God say about finances? Mm-hmm. What does God say about my temple? What does God say about purity? What does God say about all these things? We have to renew our minds daily because we don't know the way, right? And as we renew our minds, that's when we will start to learn the will of God. We would know where to go. We would know what decisions to make because we would not have that discernment because you're not conformed to the world no more. Mm-hmm. You no longer have that cloudy judgment or distractions.
That's good. And to even renew your mind, again, just go back to the story we had before. You have to kill the OG.
Mm-hmm.
You have to change your identity.
Yeah, it doesn't serve you no more.
You have to understand that your identity is in Christ, not in this world.
Yeah.
So when you change your mindset and realize that your identity is in Christ, you're going to be more open to cutting off old things that don't reflect him.
Mm-hmm.
Anything that's holding you back, you're going to be willing to cut it off.
Yeah.
Without even second thinking it.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like we said before, about how sometimes removing different things, it hurts. Getting realigned, it hurts.
Yeah.
When you have braces and you have to, and your teeth start shifting back, and you put your retainer in, your teeth hurt.
Ooh, boy,
alignment hurts, but it's gonna look good afterwards.
Yeah.
You can look more like God afterwards. You can look more like him afterwards. Mm-hmm. But you have to be willing to lose something. You have to be willing to get realigned. You have to be willing to get readjusted.
Yeah.
And if you ever been to a chiropractor, they have a thing called readjustments and everything like that. And sometimes your posture can be off.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you need the chiropractor to realign your back, your posture and everything so that you can stand up right, stand up straight, lift your head up. And you only do that by going to the manufacturer, going to the person that actually knows how to straighten you back up, that knows how to fix your posture, that knows how to reignite your faith.
That's so good.
And you only can do that by bringing your word.
Yeah, and I love it. I love this. It's my last thing. It's because reading this word, when you do get into this word, God is going to, he's going to ask you for something.
Yeah.
Hey, give me that. Give that up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Stop doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Let go of that. And it's a whisper. It's not a yell.
Yeah.
I promise you it's not a yell. He's like, hey, give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And when you ignore it, when you ignore what the Holy Spirit is unctioning you to do in a season, it's like driving your car and you see your check engine light come on and you continue to drive.
Yeah.
Eventually, a problem will come down the road. Because you didn't acknowledge what the sensor was trying to tell you.
That's good.
And that's what many of us do to the Holy Spirit. The light comes on and we're like, well, it's no big deal right now.
Mm-hmm.
So the light comes on. Hey, God's like, hey, stop doing this. It's blinking on your dashboard.
Yeah.
Hey, stop doing that. You need to let go of this.
Mm-hmm.
And you keep driving and you keep driving and you keep driving until eventually something happens. And you're like, hey, what happened to the car? Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, the check engine light was on for a little while. Yeah. I never got it fixed. And you don't want to miss your opportunity. You don't want to destroy your destiny. You don't want to destroy your path of purpose that God has for you because you are ignoring what the Holy Spirit is urging you to do. So like Joshua said, and wrapping it up, he said, today consecrate yourselves, but tomorrow the Lord will do wonders. Yeah.
I feel like everybody that's watching is going to take a deep breath and understand that as you're listening to this, say goodbye to the OG.
Yeah.
If this is not the episode, we're going to be on this whole journey this whole season.
Oh, we are. This is episode one, and this was us slow walking it because we had to tell the story. Like, this is episode was just setting the basis.
Yeah.
This whole season will be underneath becoming unrecognizable. So you need to go, first and foremost, you need to send this to a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Second of all, you need to stay in tune for all the episodes that were dropped this season. If this is just stage one, we're going to get into a whole lot of topics of things that we need to become unrecognizable with.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And before we get out of here, I just want to pray real quick.
Let's do it.
Just for people that's listening, because I understand that we want to build the habit of going to God about everything.
Mm-hmm.
So all minds clear, heads bowed, eyes closed. Lord, thank you for just allowing us all to get here safely. Thank you for every listener. Thank you for every heart that's in attendance, Lord. And I ask that you just help us all become unrecognizable to the world and recognizable to you, Lord. I thank you for even waking us all up on purpose for more purpose, Lord, and just bringing us all here intentionally to hear your voice and not our own, Lord. Yeah. Bless the viewers to hear your voice and not our own, Lord. And bless someone to actually be willing to get in the chair and to get cut by you, Lord. For them not to be afraid to take that leap of faith, but to walk in obedience as you unction them into the chair, God. So I ask that you just cover us, give us the word to give throughout this whole season. Give us the different scriptures. Give us the guests. Give us the revelations and the experiences that we need to drive this point, for them to hear your voice and for them to experience your presence as they hear what you have given us to talk about, Lord, throughout this whole season, Lord. So I ask that you cover us, cover this word, cover the whole podcast, cover the studio, cover everything that involves us spreading your word and spreading your gospel, Lord, and give you the glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen, my boy. Listen, if you enjoyed this episode, send it to a friend. Leave a comment. Like it. Tell us your best part of the episode. And we're back. We're back. Season 5.
That's good to be back.
Become unrecognizable. It is good to be back, bro. I'm just, listen, this setup.
It felt good.
Listen, it's crazy. And we've been doing... It's been crazy. It's been crazy since we've been gone. We've been going around speaking. It's been a new season for us, and it's crazy actually witnessing it. And we'll have some vlogs for y'all soon.
For sure,
we'll have some vlogs for y'all soon. Yeah,
there's so much content that we're sitting on.
Yeah, a whole lot.
We can give it to y'all as we drop all the podcast episodes as well, so y'all can see. Matter of fact, I think I'm actually glad now that we haven't dropped anything.
Yeah.
Because as we start dropping it along with the podcast, they'll start seeing all the old stuff when I had hair on my head to all the new stuff that's going on right now. It'll be like a time jump in the way. I feel like it's gonna be crazy.
It will be.
Yeah, y'all know the saying. Again, put in your bio if you need to, write in your captions, whatever. But coming unrecognizable to the world and recognizable to God.
Yes, sir.
We love y'all. We appreciate y'all. And as always, it's always more purpose. Just have to find yours.
Yes, sir.
Love.
Love.